tripping. Just relax. I'm going to make it up to you. 3 days go by. I go over to his house, which is his mama's house, because he don't have his own place. I was ready to forgive him. I don't know why I was, but I was. And most importantly, I was now healed up from my abortion, and we could have sex again for the first time since I was dancing for joy. I went in his room, and I saw he had his video camera on his TV. I don't know why, but I had this weird feeling come over me. Let's do something freaky. Let's make a movie. I grabbed the video camera, and I started recording. He immediately got all mad, snatched the camera from me, scratching my face in the process. You need to mind your motherfucking business. What is wrong with you? What's on the tape where you gotta be acting like that? Ain't nothing on this motherfucking tape. You just need to mind your motherfucking business and stay out my shit. I tried to reach for the camera, and he snatched it away. He took the tape out of the camera, went out the house, and threw it in a dumpster. I knew. All of it dawned on me right then in that moment. Not like consciously, but I knew. I felt it in my body. Was I smart enough to admit that shit to myself in the moment? Hell no. I just said to myself, you need to just chill. You love this dude. You need to chill. I still didn't know that I should listen to my gut and my feelings and my body. When he came back in the house, I decided to change up. I just started being real sweet and nice. We started kissing and stuff. I just want you to hook me up. I want you to give me some head. So he went down on me and gave me some head. Once he was done, he was all hard and ready to penetrate me. He was literally right about to put it in. And I mean like an inch before his penis touched me. I pulled away. My body was screaming at me, and not in a good way. Ooh, wait. Ooh, no. I gotta go to the bathroom. I gotta boo-boo. I sat in the bathroom for like 30 minutes. I was crying because it all hit me at once. I knew everything was true. His sister was right. I could just feel it in my bones. I was talking to myself. Oh, God. Everything she said is true. I'm so stupid. This man was betraying me so much right now. A feeling of disgust for him came over me. I was disgusted by him. And I felt disgusted for myself for being so blind. You know? I was crying so much. You know how you do that quiet crying? Like the tears are coming out. And you're breathing hard, but you don't want nobody to hear you crying. I remember I was just covering my face, just trying to hold it together. Tears running through my hands. And quite frankly, the head was not good. It wasn't. It was like the worst. Eventually, he came banging on the door. You all right in there? What the hell? So I started making throw up noises, acting like I was puking. I was just so disgusted with him. I needed to find a way out. Man, I'm sick. I'm not well. I need to go home. I'm going to go home, all right? I'm so sick. I can't function right now. I left. It was raining bad. I got in my car and I started full on crying, like heavy sobs. Makeup stained tears running down my face, all that shit. I pulled myself together and I started to drive off. I got down the street and all of a sudden I was like, what the fuck was on that damn tape? What the fuck was on that tape? I need to know what the fuck is on that tape. I parked a block away and I walked in the rain back to his place. My hair was fucked up. But I gave zero fucks at this point. I broke into the apartment building that he lived in with his mom. I hopped over the gate and jumped into the dumpster. I was diving in that dumpster for like an hour looking for that tape. And I found it. I was so dirty. I just remember feeling like a piece of shit. I felt like garbage. Like I literally had garbage all over me. But I had to find out what the hell was on this tape. This was one of those mini videotapes. I needed an adapter to play it on my VCR. Once I had the tape, I drove around for about 3.5 hours looking for an adapter. I drove all the way to Orange County, still smelling like garbage, trying to get one, but no one had it. I bought a pack of cigarettes. I didn't even know how to smoke. I went home and I smoked like 3 cigarettes. I was going, I hope these kill me right now. I have no idea why I thought 3 cigarettes was going to kill me, but I did. That's how fucking loopy I was right then. At 5 a.m., I called my friend Anna. Her work involved some kind of media stuff, and I remember she had the same kind of video camera as Titus. Can I borrow your camera?
What do you need it for? Oh, what's going on?
It's 5 a.m. What do you need a video camera for? You murder someone?
I just need it.
Why do you sound like that?
I just smoke cigarettes.
Why are you smoking cigarettes?
This motherfucker scratched my face. I found his videotape in a dumpster and I just want to die.
What does that have to do with cigarettes? What is going on?
Anna, look, you want weed? I'll get you some weed if you let me borrow the camera.
Okay, yeah. Bring me some weed and I'll bring my camera. I got the weed and went over to Anna's. I guess I was in worse shape than I realized. Tiffany, you need to calm down. You should probably hit this weed.
Fuck that weed. I just need that video camera. I need to go home and watch this tape.
Tiffany, I ain't giving you the camera till you hit the weed and have a drink. You need to relax. She opened a bottle of Cisco. It was peach Cisco because we classy. We sat there at 7 a.m. smoking weed and drinking peach Cisco. Then I calmed down a lot. I went home and plugged the video camera into my TV. Oh, man, it was so bad. Let me try to explain it. It's that girl, Bertha, that his sister told me about. It starts out with them talking.
I'm better than your girlfriend, Tiffany. I can do everything better than her. She's not all that. You always talking about her like she's so special, but she's not special.
She is special, but I'm going to have to teach you how to do it better because you're not making me enough money. I'm going to teach you how to suck a dick right.
Okay, show me how to suck a dick right.
Now, when Tiffany sucks my dick,
I just started bawling out of control. The whole tape was, Tiffany does it this way. And no, when Tiffany do it, she do it this way. Like this, she do that. And she was all into it.
Does Tiffany do it like this? Does Tiffany do it like that? How she do it like this?
I cried hard for a long time. I just cried and cried. I cried so much. I just got fucking dehydrated. I cried all the fucking water out of my body. Then I started to get pissed. I realized this motherfucker is giving this bitch all my fucking tricks. Ain't that some bullshit? Then he started fucking her. And he was fucking her without a condom. And my birthday is time stamped at the bottom of the fucking video. I wasn't crying no more. I started screaming at the TV. I was screaming at the TV like some crazy woman. I was so mad. In that bitch's face, oh, hell no. You ever seen them chicks that got the big guns and the little baby teeth? That was her. That old dog mouth bitch was staring at me as she was getting fucked by my man on my birthday. I watched it probably about 4 times. I called him. I'm done with you. This relationship is over. I'm not fucking with you no more. I fucking hate you.
You dog, nasty, dirty dick motherfucker. You ain't shit.
I was just going in on him, right? For like 15 minutes. I used every curse word and bad thing I could think of. I didn't let him get a word in. I didn't listen to shit he had to say. I just went in on the motherfucker. A few hours later, he showed up at my house. He walked in and saw the tape playing. Oh, yeah, I played that shit for hours.
How did you get that tape?
How do you think I got it, you dumb motherfucker?
You fucking crazy. You a crazy bitch going in the trash like that. That shit is garbage.
You best get the fuck out of my house before I commit murder.
Oh, come on, Tiff. That doesn't mean anything. I was teaching her. I was teaching her.
Nah, you're a fucking cheater. You a liar. Your sister was right. He was thinking he would take the tape from me when he came over. Hell no. I hid that shit. Then I called the police.
You better get out of here. The police coming.
That phrase will scare off any black man, except Obama, maybe. He left so fast, he didn't even get his clothes and shoes and other stuff he had left at my place. Once he left, my anger subsided, and the sadness came back. I was just devastated. This hurt so much. He kept blowing up my phone. I ignored him. Then he got his mama, his grandmama, his aunties, all of these people in his family to start calling me. They laid the guilt on thick, telling me, you destroying him. He loves you so much. He's so depressed. He can't function without you. I never told them that he cheated on me or that he made this sex tape or anything like that. I don't know why. As much bad as he'd done to me, I just didn't want to do that. I knew how much they had put him on a pedestal. They really loved him. I didn't want to destroy that. But they kept bothering me about him, making me feel like it was my fault. I know he didn't tell them about all the shit he'd done to me. Then Anna pointed out some real obvious shit that I missed. Why you letting him hide his dirty shit? You should make everybody in the family fucking pay. They knew about that bitch. If the little sister knew, they all knew. They knew what the fuck he was doing. They knew. She was right. They had to know. Ain't no way the only person in the family to know the truth is some 8-year-old girl. I devised a plan. Oh, it was so fucking devious. It was straight up evil. But that motherfucker and his family deserved it. First, I got about 15 bootleg copies of that movie Charlie's Angels. It had just come out. Anna's boyfriend was a bootlegger, and he helped me make some alterations to the movie. I made copies for all the family members who called my phone, all of them that called me and was telling me, he love you. You're doing him wrong. Christmas was coming up, so I wrapped them all up real nice. And I sent all 15 copies to his family members as gifts. Then I ate a lot of corn, a lot. And I didn't chew it so well. And I made a different present for him. Once it was ready, I called him. I was tripping. I love you. I can't live without you. You're like the best thing that ever happened to me. I can't be without you. I really want to be your girl. I just need you to stop messing with that chick.
I'm going to leave her alone. No problem. I wasn't making no real money off her anyways. Fuck that pimp life. I'm not going to live that life. I'm not doing it no more. It's just me and you.
I went over to his house, and I brought his shoes and other stuff back to him. Babe, we should, for our first thing together, let's play basketball. We should play basketball.
Babe, yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
He was about to put on some regular shoes, and I stopped him.
Nah, you should put on your Jordans, the ones you had at my house. You'll be the freshest dude. Oh, you'll be like the shit on the court.
You'll be killing them out there. Put these on. If you're my man, you're going to be the finest dude out there.
All right. I like this.
He put his foot in the shoe.
What the fuck is in this shoe?
He pulled his foot out, and there was shit all over his foot. And that shit was full of corn.
What the fuck? Somebody shitted in my shoe? Is that human shit? There's corn in it.
Yeah, all that shit you put me through? Now you walking through it, motherfucker.
I took off running out the apartment because I figured he might try to do something. When you ruin a black man's shoes, you never know what's going to happen. But then I stopped running. I realized he wasn't going to do anything. Besides being a coward, which he was not about to track shit all through his mama's house, right? Once I got outside, I could hear him yelling, screaming from his balcony, being all hysterical.
You dirty bitch! You dirty, nasty bitch!
Later that day, his mom called me.
Why would you shit in his shoe?
I hate your son. I fucking hate him. I mean, I love him, but I hate him. He's a fucking loser. He's a shitty ass motherfucker. He wanna drag me through the shit? Then he can walk in it too.
Girl, you fucking crazy. Something is wrong with you. You have a mental problem.
I didn't have no mental problem until I met your raggedy ass son.
His mom was like, and he got shit all over my carpet. How am I going to clean this up?
Obviously, that broke us up for good. But my master plan was not over. There was one more chapter. Christmas Day came. I was at work at the airlines, at the ticket counter. My white manager came up to me.
Tiffany, there is a woman on the phone for you. She is very angry.
She sounds black, and she is very, very angry. I don't normally like employees taking personal calls on shifts, but she is very insistent that she talk to you.
I already knew who it was and what it was about.
Hello.
My children saw that. What is wrong with you? My children saw that.
It was Titus's mom. Remember the 15 Charlie Angels VHS tapes I had sent out to all his family for Christmas? I had Anna's bootlegger boyfriend splice in the porn that Titus shot with Bertha right in the middle of the movie. He even made a little title card that said Titus's Angel that cut right in to him fucking her.
Oh, hell yes! I went there.
Why you put that filth in my house?
Why your son fucking around on me with some horse mouth hoe on my fucking birthday? What's up with that?
Then his grandmother took the phone from her.
Oh my God, girl.
You got my grandbaby dick out? I done had a seizure. I got these kids up in here watching Charlie's Angels, and then all of a sudden you got my grandson on here fucking this bitch?
The whole family. It was like the kids, grandkids, everybody sitting there watching. His whole family saw that shit. They all saw what a fucking lying cheater he was. They all saw them big gums and those tiny teeth. They saw it all. I was tired of being framed as the bad girlfriend when I wasn't. Titus couldn't hide no more. Then I heard his auntie in the background.
My nephew got a big old dick.
I should beat your ass, his grandma said. You better bring me every copy of that tape you got.
Oh my God. You better not put my grandbaby dick on no internet.
I'll sue you, bitch. Ooh, I will have you killed. If you got my grandbaby dick out there like this,
best revenge ever, right?
That was the end of my relationship with Titus and his family. But the fallout was not over. Oh, no. In some ways, it was just the beginning. Because Titus tried to be a pimp and failed. I ended up actually becoming a real-life pimp. But that's another story altogether.
The pimp gets pimped. The day after the Charlie's Angels Christmas, Bertha called my house looking for Titus.
Hi, my name is Bertha. I'm looking for Titus.
Titus don't live here.
Well, he calls me from this number sometimes. I can't find him. He's been missing for a couple of days.
He's been missing? Oh, you that bitch, ain't you?
Are you Tiffany? Oh, it's so nice to hear your voice. I hear so much about you. He's always talking about you. You're such a nice person.
Oh, no, bitch. I'm not nice. Just ask Titus how nice I am.
I don't know why you're so angry at me. I just work for him.
Can you believe this? I kept talking to her, and I started realizing this bitch is dumb as fuck. Oh, what kind of work you do for him?
Well, you know, like customer service type work.
Customer service type work? Girl, keep it 100, because I remember him saying he wanted to be a pimp. So you a hoe?
I'm not a hoe. I'm an entertainer.
She told me about how she met Titus through his homeboy or whatever, and that she wanted to be in movies. She wanted to make money. And they told her that she could make money being in movies, having sex with people, so that's what she do.
So how much money are you making doing entertainment?
None, because he keeps all the money. But he gets my hair done, my nails done, he buys my clothes, he feeds me.
I know, right? To be honest, though, I didn't have no place calling her a dumb bitch. I let that motherfucker lie to me, too, just about different shit. I told her Titus wasn't ever coming back to my place, so she didn't need to call me again. Then, the next day, she called me.
Oh, you a nasty, dirty bitch! You shit in his shoes, you nasty, dirty bitch!
I guess she found Titus. No. You the nasty, dirty bitch. You the one that's out here fucking random motherfuckers on camera, and you don't got no money to show for it. You giving your pussy up for nothing. We was going back and forth arguing with each other over who's the nastiest, dirtiest bitch. Eventually, it came down to what all black women arguments come down to.
I should come and beat your ass.
I wish you would come and try to beat my ass. Then she told me my address.
That nigga told her where I live.
I've been to your house before. I've been in your car. I've been in your bed.
Boy, I was fucking hot. I hung up the phone and went to go see my girl Anna. She flipped it on me. Anna was like,
stop arguing with that bitch and start working that bitch. She's stupid. So use it to work that bitch.
I don't even know what that means, Anna.
You're just as dumb as her. Listen, be nice. Turn her against him. Take his hoe from him. Without no hoe, he ain't no pimp. I thought about that shit all night. The next day, I called Bertha.
Hey, I'm not calling to argue with you or anything. I totally get what I did was kind of out of order or whatever. But really, I don't want no beef or no problems.
That's nice to hear. Thank you, Tiffany.
I've been thinking about what you said, and I just want to know, how are you out here giving up your body and not making any money off of it? It just don't make no sense to me.
We started talking, and I asked her a bunch of questions.
You doing these pornos? How much are you getting?
I don't know what I'm getting paid, because he takes the money.
Girl, I could probably hook you up with some gigs, and I would just take 10%.
Really?
Yeah, if you make 1,000, I would only want 100. If you make 1,500, I would only want 150.
This sounds like it would be a good thing.
We started talking on the phone every day, and I kept working her. So now I was on the phone with her for about a week and a half, 2 weeks. She done become my friend, right? I was like a hater, though. I fucking hate her. But I would tell her things like, I'm telling you, You can make a lot of money if you just work with me. You could even still be with him. He could be your man or whatever y'all got going on, but you should work with me. She agreed. So I started looking in the LA Weekly, and I found her a gig to do like 3 pornos. I got her $1,500 for one, $700 for another, and the other one she had to get fucked in the ass and her pussy by 2 dudes, so I got her $1,800 for that. I took her to the set, she fucked, I got my cut, and I gave her the rest.
This is the most money I ever had. Oh my God, thank you so much, Tiffany. Thank you so much.
Then I had another friend who was a stripper, and I had her show Bertha some moves. I helped her go from $70 a night to $300 or more, and I got my cut of that, too. One day, Titus made her mad, and she dropped it on him.
You're a fucking horrible pimp. Tiffany's a way better pimp than you'll ever be.
Titus was like, what?
Tiffany is a way better pimp than you'll ever be. She's a great person.
What the fuck are you talking about?
Tiffany's been taking me to do pornos. See all this money I got?
Even better, she did this in front of his homeboys who were actually pimps. His homeboy was like,
damn, Titus, your bitch took your bitch?
Man, maybe Tiff should hang with us. Sound like she the true pimp. He called me. All hysterical, voice trembling.
You take my bitch?
Yeah, I took your bitch, and I'll do it again. I'll take all your bitches, you dirty bitch-ass motherfucker.
I fucking hate you. You're a horrible person.
I just felt so good. I felt like I really accomplished a lot. Eventually, I started pimping Titus's male friends. One of his boys, we called him Goliath. Because he was so huge. Heard what I had been doing for Bertha. He asked if I could set him up, too. I started off getting him some pornos, and those went well. Then something else came up. See, I was still doing bar mitzvahs on the weekends. And of course, if you're doing bar mitzvahs, you're going to meet old Jewish ladies. I met a lot of lonely ones, and I got to be friends with them. Then they started telling me how lonely they were. And saying things like, my husband's not satisfying me. I remember the first conversation that started it. I had just finished a bar mitzvah practice, which is basically a full routine that I choreographed for the kids' grand entrance. And I was about to leave. And she was like, no, Tiffany, stay. Have a glass of wine with me. I don't really have a lot of friends. My husband has all the friends. I don't really have anybody to hang out with. It's kind of lonely in this big old house. I thought this was kind of weird, but this was a rich lady, so whatever. I talked to her. She did seem lonely. She was telling me about how her husband's never at home, how her sex life was down the drain. I feel like I'm a virgin again. He doesn't touch me or anything.
Oh, wow.
So, who are you dating? I bet you date hot guys. I do okay. We had this same conversation like 3 times until finally I got fed up. Girl, why don't you just buy some dick? You should come with me to the strip club and just check it out. Oh no, I couldn't be seen in a place where men are dancing. Well, just buy some. They won't tell nobody. Just keep it on the down low. On the down low? I straight up had to play some R. Kelly down low for her to explain what that meant. She gave me this crazy look like a kid that stole candy. I've never been with a black guy. I would love a strong black man. What's it like doing a black guy? Well, they be smelling like cocoa butter. That's nice. They be all strong and their dicks are so powerful. If you find a man with an ass, oh my God. It's just so good. They pick you up. It's just good. It just depends on who you get with, though. But they can be good. That's what I need. But you know, any guy could be great if you have a connection and stuff. I don't need the connection. I'm married. I just need to have an orgasm. I just want to feel ravaged. She starts showing me these romance novels she had. All of her romance novels were like, I don't know. She had one that was like a slave thing or whatever. It was a big strapping black guy on the cover holding his passed out white woman. Well, I don't know any slaves, but I could probably hook you up with somebody big and strong. So I hooked her up with Titus's boy Goliath. She give me 200, I take 50, give him the rest, and then set up the meeting. Then she introduced me to another lady. I linked her up with another guy that was a friend of Goliath. It was kind of like word of mouth, and I started having a lot of clients. One lady wanted a strong white man. I didn't know any huge white guys, but I used to be at Venice Beach a lot, and I met this dude on the boardwalk. Hey, would you fuck for money? And this big white dude was like,
yeah, of course.
Just like that, pimping dudes was easy. The problem was that I wasn't really necessary. A lot of these guys, once I introduced them and got my 50, they started hooking up with these chicks on their own, doing their own thing, which makes sense, to be honest. Aside from the intro, they didn't need me. So I ended up getting out of pimping because I didn't make much money. It's just not a lucrative business, selling dick. Shit, dick ain't really all that hard to come by. Roscoe, the handicapped angel. In my early 20s, I worked the ticket counter at an airline. When you checked into a flight, I was the girl who printed your ticket and tagged your bags. Roscoe was my baggage handler. He would stand behind me at the counter and throw the bags on the conveyor belt. Roscoe was also handicapped. And not just a little handicapped. Dude was messed up in multiple ways. To start with, he only had one working arm. I don't know how he even got that job. Who hires a baggage handler with only one working arm? His right arm was big and strong. It worked great. But his left arm was like this tiny, deformed little arm. It was permanently bent at an angle, kind of hung there and looked like a T-Rex arm. He couldn't move the fingers and stuff. Otherwise, it couldn't do much. Like a baby arm that never fully developed. It made me feel creepy at first. Have you ever seen a physical deformity on a person? And at first, it sends a chill down your spine. Even if you don't want to feel that way, you do. For the first few weeks, I was straight up repulsed by the dead baby arm. Eventually, I moved on to sympathy. Oh, poor Roscoe. And then, after that, I was just used to it and treated Roscoe like anyone else. His arm wasn't the only thing off about him. His face was always making crazy expressions. You ever seen someone who had a stroke and couldn't really control his face afterwards? It was like that. I don't know if he actually had a stroke or if he was born that way, but his mouth went to the side and it made him talk mush mouth. It took some time to get used to how he spoke, because his mush mouth made him draw out all his vowel sounds and for real made him sound slow. He said my name like it was three different words. Tiffany. But he was not mentally disabled. You could have a normal conversation with him, and he would totally be able to talk to you. At times, he was even smart. And man, he was funny. You can't be funny if you're dumb. But mainly, he didn't give a fuck. I remember one time, soon after I met him, I had this one customer who was such a bitch. She was complaining about every little thing, cursing her husband out, trying to yell at me. I kept being nice because that's how they train us. But she was being a straight up bitch. When she walked away, Roscoe came up behind me.
Wow, what a fucking bitch. I hope she get a yeast infection, that stupid bitch.
What'd you say, Roscoe?
She's stupid talking to you like that. Tiffany, she can't be talking to you like that, fucking bitch.
Roscoe, you can't talk like that at work. It was even more shocking coming from him because I kind of assume that handicapped people don't curse and talk shit. I always think if someone's handicapped, then they're automatically some innocent angel. That's totally ridiculous, of course, but I still thought it. And nobody could get mad at him because he's handicapped. Who's going to yell at a handicapped dude with a stroke face and a little dead baby arm just because he cursed? I liked Roscoe, and he was fun, but Roscoe was into me, too. I mean, really into me and not subtle at all. Every day when he saw me, he'd come up to me and say, "Tiffany, you are so beautiful. You look so good today." He would notice everything. I could change one little thing, and he would notice it. I come into work, he'd see me, his eyes would go all bug-eyed out and crazy, and he'd slur out,
"Wow, Tiffany, you look so hot. I love your blue eyeshadow."
He started bringing me filet of fish sandwiches on Fridays because he learned that I liked them. When he saw I appreciated it, he started bringing me flowers on Mondays.
"These are for you, Tiffany, for your house."
I could not put these flowers in my house. These were not regular flowers you buy at the store. I'm pretty sure Roscoe stole them out of somebody's yard because they had dirt and ants and bugs all over them. They were pretty, though. Once he got to know me, Roscoe started asking me out on dates at least once a week.
"Tiffany, you're so beautiful. Can we go on a date tomorrow? You want to go on a date with me?"
I would tell him that I had a man and he looked sad. Then a few days later, he asked me out again, and we go through the same conversation. He was never pushy about it, always polite and respectful, but man, he never gave up. One day he asked me,
"What your favorite cologne, Tiffany? What you want your man to smell like?"
"Clean, Roscoe. I want him to smell clean."
"You like Old Spice, you like Brut, you like Cool Water. Cool Water smells clean."
"I don't know if I like that. I don't even know what that stuff smells like. As long as he smells clean. I like my man to smell clean. My boyfriend's cologne is pretty good." At that time, I was dating Titus, and he worked in the airport. In fact, he was part of the same department that Roscoe worked for, but for a different airline. I told Roscoe this, and he said,
"Okay, I'm going to see your boyfriend, and I'm going to smell him. I'm going to find out what you like."
I didn't think about that word, that statement, until about 2 months later. When I was going through the breakup with Titus, he had lost his job at the airport, and we were having serious problems. And Roscoe came up to me and said,
"Tiffany, why you got a man who don't have a job? You too good for that. Tiffany, your man gotta have a job."
I don't know how Roscoe knew that because I didn't tell nobody that my man got fired. I wonder for a second if Roscoe had something to do with it, but that's ridiculous. How's a handicapped guy with a little arm going to get my man fired? The breakup with Titus was hard. I spent months getting over him, crying, being sad and fucked up. Every day, Roscoe was telling me I'm beautiful. Even on the days I was coming in tired and burnt out with nasty puffy eyes because I've been crying all night, he still told me I'm beautiful.
"Tiffany, you are so beautiful. You look so good today."
Roscoe gave me my space when I needed it, but he pretty quickly got back to asking me out. And I went from once a week to every single day.
"Tiffany, you are so beautiful. You're the most beautiful girl in the whole airport. Can we go on a date? You want to go on a date with me?"
One day, I was finally over my ex-boyfriend. I don't know what possessed me. Maybe it was a filet of fish that Roscoe had just bought me, but I said, "Yeah, fuck it. Let's go on a date, Roscoe. Let's do it." His eyes bugged out and his sideways mouth hung open. For a second, I thought maybe he was having a stroke, but then he snapped out of it.
"For real? For real? Tiffany?"
"Yeah, Roscoe, let's go."
"Okay. Oh, my God. Okay. All right. This is going to be great, Tiffany. We're going to go to Hermosa Beach, to the Hennessy's. It's going to be the best day ever. We're going to catch the 217 bus, then get cross town, then..."
"Roscoe, I got my own car. I'll pick you up." He gave me his address and then ran out of work. I don't even think it was the end of his shift.
He was just so excited he bolted out of the airport.
The next evening, I pulled up to his place. I was thinking, this is a pretty big house, considering he's handicapped and works as a baggage handler. How is he affording this? Does he live with his parents?
Nope. Turns out it's one of those group homes for adults with disabilities. And I'm here to straight pick up this man to go on a date at a group home. A girl answered the door. Clearly she had Down syndrome. She took one look at me and screamed at the top of her lungs. You must be Tiffany! You must be Tiffany! You are so beautiful! You are so beautiful! She started running in circles in the living room, throwing her hands in the air and screaming as loud as she could. Everyone, come see! Tiffany's here! She is so beautiful! Tiffany's here! She is so beautiful! Everyone, come see! Tiffany's here! She is so beautiful! All I could think to myself is, I gotta come over here every day. This is wonderful. This is how people should greet people. This is what I'm talking about. As she was running in circles, screaming at the top of her lungs, the living room filled up with all sorts of different handicapped people. It was like, I don't even know how to describe it. Like, in that Rudolph Christmas special, The Island of Misfit Toys. There was a dude in a wheelchair who had this goofy smile that did not change one bit the whole time I was there. There was an older lady in there. She had Down syndrome. She was smiling and clapping. There was a young kid with his hands over his ears, rocking back and forth on the sofa, but he was smiling too. Roscoe came down the stairs and he looked a little annoyed.
Everybody, calm down. She my date. This my date, guys. Relax, okay? Relax. I'll see you guys later.
Roscoe was the alpha dog in the group home. He was like the older brother trying to deal with his little brothers and sisters. They all hugged him and lined up at the door to say goodbye. Roscoe finally got through his people and to me, and he gave me flowers. And yes, there were bugs in them.
Tiffany, I'm going to show you such a good time. We're going to have so much fun. We're going to eat the best burgers.
On like that, the whole car ride. He finally calmed down by the time we got to Hermosa Beach, to a bar called Hennessy's. It was karaoke night. I don't know if you've ever been to Hennessy's in Hermosa Beach, but this is a beachy, preppy, white people bar. It's where the bros drink their brews and the surfers sip their hurricanes, and they all just white together. We were the only black people in there. Even the busboys were white, which I have never seen before that time. We ordered our drinks, and before they came, Roscoe ran up to the stage. With his good arm, he grabbed the mic from the last person who sang. I'm pretty sure there was a long line of people waiting their turns. But you know how polite these beachy white people are. They ain't gonna say nothing when someone like Roscoe grabs the mic. He composed himself on stage as the DJ loaded the song. He waited patiently and anxiously for his song to start, hopping around just a little like a kid that had to pee. Then it started, and he started singing. He was not just doing regular karaoke. This dude was straight belting him some Luther Vandross. I mean, he was into it.
A chair is still a chair, even if no one's sitting there.
Now, understand, Roscoe was handicapped, so I'll be nice about it. His singing was terrible. He was off-key and tone-deaf. It was just bad, horrible singing. But he knew all the words, and he knew all of Luther's moves, and he put his heart into it. He had on his burgundy blazer, and he was swinging his little dead baby arm around, all suave and shit. But yeah, it sounded just horrible. This is the part I remember the most, not just because of Roscoe's horrible singing, but because of this white lady sitting in front of me. She kept looking back at me. I was drinking my wine and trying to enjoy the fact that my handicapped date was singing his heart out, but this white lady would not stop looking at me. Finally, she turned around, looked me up and down, and said, "You are so strong." I wanted to curl up under the table and die. When Roscoe finished singing, everybody went nuts and cheered and screamed and clapped. You know how white people do. They encourage and cheer anybody who lets it all hang out and just don't give a fuck. Roscoe got excited by all this attention and sang another quick song. I can't even remember what it was. I was still so mad and embarrassed about the comment from that bitch. He finally came and sat down. He was sweating it all out of breath because he basically just performed a concert. He took a long swig of his beer, reached over the table with that good arm, grabbed my hand with that strong hand, while his little dead hand rested on the table. He looked all deep into my eyes, and I was looking at him. And all I could think was that I wanted to kill the rest of my wine. I wanted to down the rest of it, but I didn't want to seem like a lush. He was looking at me, and he said,
"Tiffany, I just want to tell you, I feel like the luckiest man alive. If I die tomorrow, it would be the happiest day of my life. I'm serious. If I die tomorrow, that's fine. This is the most wonderful day. A girl as beautiful as you to be out with a guy like me is the most wonderful day of my whole life."
"Oh, Roscoe, it's not a problem. We work together. It's cool."
"No, Tiffany, you don't understand. This is the most special day ever. I want it to be magical for us."
He started crying, like big-ass man tears coming out of his face, and then snot started coming out of his nose. He just turned into a hot mess. As he told me I was so special and how amazing this day was for him, he took a minute to compose himself and said,
"I could die. It's okay. I'm okay if I die now. That's how special this is to me, Tiffany."
Here I was, sitting in a crowded bar with a man crying, snot coming out of his nose, and honestly, all I could think was one thing. I'm gonna fuck the shit out of Roscoe. For real. That's what I kept saying to myself. I'm gonna fuck the shit out of Roscoe. First off, I never seen a man cry for me. I never seen a man express his love for me like this. Nothing like this had ever happened to me before. Ever. I just thought to myself, well, this is who I'm supposed to be with, obviously. This is who I'm supposed to spend my time with. This man who loves me so much and does so much for me and adores me like this. That's right. I'm gonna fuck him. I'm gonna fuck the shit out of Roscoe tonight. I didn't care about nothing else. Fuck the judgmental white lady. I downed my wine. We got another round. And then we went back to my place. My date movie at the time was The Wiz. If I liked you, I put The Wiz on. That was a good sign. And if you could sit and watch The Wiz through the scarecrow part, I'm fucking. If you can sit through the Michael Jackson scene, that's it. It's on. Well, Roscoe did not sit through The Wiz. That's because he was acting the whole thing out. He knew all the words. You know how white people do the Rocky Horror Picture Show? Just like that.
"Come on, Tiffany. Come dance with me."
Oh, my God. Did he love this movie? It was like I dropped into some musical theater summer camp in my own house. But you know what? I love that movie, too. Fuck it. I got up and danced and sang The Wiz with him. By the time it got to the Lena Horne part, the end of the movie, it was time for business. I leaned in and gave him a kiss on his cheek. He said,
"Oh, Tiffany, you don't want to do that. Don't do that, Tiffany. You don't know what you're getting yourself into."
I leaned in, gave him another kiss. He got all serious.
"Okay, Tiffany, I'm serious. I warned you. I'm not going to warn you no more. Don't do that, okay? You don't know what you're doing. I'm serious, very serious, Tiffany."
He smelled real good. Whatever it was good. And it was kind of getting me horny. I did not realize it at the time, but thinking back on it, I'm pretty sure he was wearing the same cologne that Titus used to wear. He must have actually went and smelled that motherfucker now that I think about it. He did smell good, though. Except his breath smelled like corn chips. but that was normal for Roscoe.
Whatever, Roscoe, you smell all good and stuff, I said and leaned in again to give him another kiss.
He wasn't kidding with that warning. Roscoe took that third kiss as his cue and he straight went to work. He grabbed my face with that strong hand. He started tonguing me down. Next thing I knew, all my clothes was off. He was stroking my face with that strong hand, still kissing me, while he was putting on a condom with that little hand. I was like, oh, shit, this motherfucker's a professional fucker. Here I was, all proud of myself, thinking I was fixing to be the first. Yeah, I was fixing to blow his mind, but hell no. He been fucking all kinds of handicapped bitches or something, nurses or whoever, because ain't no virgin on earth have skills like this. He finally got his T-Rex arm to put that condom on, and he moved in. And yes, I know what you're gonna ask. He had dick for days. And for real, he tore it up. He straight tore up the pussy. His dick game was off the chain. He took control and laid me back and went to work. And it felt amazing. I was on my back in missionary and enjoying the hell out of this fuck. My pussy was feeling so good. And then I opened my eyes. Oh, hell. I'm looking at him, and it's like his face is twisted as fuck. It was so contorted and screwed up. It was horrifying to look at. You know when someone is concentrating, they make funny faces. Yeah, well, it was like a Halloween mask was doing that. I closed my eyes in fright. But damn, it would start feeling really good down there. And then I would open my eyes again and be like, oh no. It was like a scary movie, except that my pussy felt great. The thing that really messed me up was that he was holding himself up with that good arm and that little dead baby hand was dangling over my face. And you know, it's Roscoe, so he's sweating and drooling and shit, and it's dripping on my forehead. The sweat and the drool, it was too nasty. I had to do something, but I didn't want the sex to stop. Roscoe, hit it from the back.
Oh, you want me to tap that hand from the back? You ain't gonna ask me twice.
He took his strong arm, slid it underneath me, grabbed my opposite hip, and in one motion flipped me over. I landed on my hands and knees instantly. I don't even know how he did it. It was some circus Soleil shit. He was right in me, holding my waist with that good hand, smacking my ass with that little dead hand, and he was just fucking my pussy up. I could kind of feel him drooling, but I didn't give a shit. As long as I didn't have to see his Halloween sex face, it was cool because his dick was amazing. He was saying all the normal things dudes say during sex.
Oh, yeah, girl. Oh, yeah. Oh, this. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Yeah. Oh, God. Oh, God.
Then all of a sudden, the craziest fucking thing happened.
Damn, girl, you got some good pussy.
His voice turned normal. He went from this mush-mouth, long-ass vowel words you could barely understand to talking like a normal man. And with a deep, sexy-ass Billy Dee Williams voice.
Yeah, Tiffany, you like this dick, don't you, sexy girl?
Hell yeah, I do. I started feeling like, okay, I must have magical powers. I can heal people with my pussy. He kept talking normal, and then he came hard and plopped down next to me. The sex had been amazing, but I was even more excited that I healed this motherfucker with my pussy. I got a magical unicorn pussy, y'all. I'm winning. I got all sweet and turned to him. Roscoe, you were so good. You want something to drink, baby?
Yeah, baby. I'd love something to drink.
I walked to the kitchen, and for real, in my 22-year-old brain, I honestly thought to myself, I fucking healed this guy. I made him healthy. This is the greatest ghetto fairy tale ever. I poured him a nice cold glass of water, and I stopped in the bathroom to fix my hair and look good for my newly healed man. Here you go, baby. Here's your water.
Thank you very much, Tiffany.
Ah, hell no. It wore off? My magical pussy power is only temporary.
I was seriously depressed. I honestly thought for a second my pussy had powers and that I turned this incredibly sweet handicapped man into a normal boyfriend, except for that one arm, but still. Yes, I know that's fucking nonsense, but I thought it. Oh, well, he may not be healed, but handicapped or not, he could still fuck. I was off work the next day and the day after that, so I made him call in to work sick, and I kept him at my place the whole time. We was fucking for 2 days straight, sometimes sleeping and eating, but mainly fucking. I did most of the cooking, but to his credit, he made sandwiches for us. But I didn't go in there and watch him make them, because I didn't want to see that dead baby hand on my food. I kept that image out of my mind. Eventually, I took him back to his place, and I kept thinking this thought. How can I take him around my friends? On the one hand, I think I love this dude. He's an amazing human, and the best sex I ever had. Just so loving and caring. He was the shit to me. The awesomest in the world. At the same time, he's handicapped. There ain't no way around that fact. I can't take him around my friends. I can hear their voices in my head. You dating a handicapped guy who rides the bus? Is you serious? You getting community service for this? Did your probation officer tell you this counts or something? Tiffany, you were an extra in an exhibit video. Why are you messing with this guy? You could be fucking exhibit. What's wrong with you, Tiffany? He can't keep his drool in his mouth. He only got one arm that works. Bitch, what are you doing? Over and over it went in my mind. There was no escaping the fact that I cannot date a handicapped guy. I got to work the next day, and Roscoe was there. We had had zero discussion on how we would act at work. He was super excited to see me and everything. I mean, super excited. As he walked up, I could see his dick getting hard in his pants. Yo, Roscoe, we got to talk at lunch. We need to have a conversation. He grabbed his dick and smiled at me and said,
oh, yeah, we're going to talk all right.
Don't do that, Roscoe. A real talk, a conversation.
I know a place we can have a conversation, all right? A good talk.
No, we're going to meet in the center air. It's a restaurant in the center of the airport. Meet me in the center air where everybody be at. We'll meet right there. Lunch came around, and we met there and started talking. Roscoe was happy and serene and had no idea what was coming. I felt so bad.
Timmy, you are so beautiful today. I was thinking about you all last night.
Roscoe, shh, stop. We have to talk. I took a deep breath and launched in. I told him I was shallow. I told him I was insecure. I kept talking about what a bad girlfriend I was and how I wasn't ready for a relationship. I said I knew he wanted me to be his girlfriend, but that maybe it would work in our next lifetime. I hit him with that Erykah Badu. Maybe next lifetime we could have a better life, but I'm too immature right now. I probably rambled for 20 minutes before he got it and stopped me.
Are you saying you can't date me?
Yes, Roscoe. That's what I'm saying.
What? Are you fucking serious? Are you saying you don't want to be with me?
Not like that, Roscoe. I want to be your friend. I just can't be your woman. I can't be in a serious relationship with you. I don't know how I can handle that.
Are you saying you can't be my girl?
Yes, Roscoe, that's what I'm saying. He looked at me, and his face nearly broke my heart. It was the rawest look of pain and heartbreak I had ever seen on any face ever in my life.
Okay.
I almost started crying, and I was so close to grabbing his hand and taking it all back when he stood up.
Well, fuck you then. That's why your pussy garbage.
What?
Your pussy is garbage.
Roscoe stormed off. I was in a motherfucking shock. I wanted to yell something back at him, but there were people everywhere. And besides, what am I going to yell back?